1 Samuel 7. Once again, let me just say this. I hope this is more than just an interesting study or something we're amazed at and marvel at. The type, if you've never heard it, it'd be a blessing to you. I hope the reading was. But I hope it'd be more than that. I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts through this. Show us Christ. The story of Samuel and Ark and Israel and their enemies, and Philistines. And Samuel represents our Lord Jesus Christ. And he represents those that preach Christ. The prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those that preach Christ. The Ark is the Word of God, the truth of God. The gospel of God. The ark is the gospel of Christ. That's what the ark is. The gospel. The ark is Christ. The gospel is Christ. Israel in this story are those who outwardly seem to be God's people. Supposed to be God's people. Visible people of God. Scripture says he's a Jew. This is one inward though. It's not outward. It's inward. The Philistines were the constant enemies of Israel. Every generation, the Philistines. It began way back. The Philistines were the enemy of God and his people, and they were with them constantly. They represent Satan, his demons, this world. They're called Satan's seed, sons of Belial. The old man within us. That's a Philistine that just will never let up. They're never let up. They're always around. They're always fighting Israel. Philistine. That's our sins. They're ever before us. Did you read the article? And that's the adversary. This story of the ark, and I hope you'll bear with me. I hope the Lord blesses it. From chapter 4 through chapter 7, it's mentioned 38 times. In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel, more than any other, the ark. Is this making a noise?
Yes.
Don't know. How about now? Still doing it? All right, I'm going to turn it on, off. Okay. I do it. Still know what I'm going to turn it off. Real preachers don't need them things. Now speak up. All right? From chapter 4 to chapter 7, 38 times the ark is mentioned. Is it important? Over 200 times in the scripture. It's not mentioned in the gospel. The ark is not mentioned in the gospel. It's gone. Or is it? The ark is, as I said, the word of God. It's the revelation of God. It's the way God gave to his chosen people to reveal to them who he is, his holiness, his justice, his wrath, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his kindness, the way to approach God, the way to worship God, the way to come to God, one way. You didn't know God. You couldn't come to God. You wouldn't be accepted by God. There's no forgiveness of sins except through this ark. It's called the Ark of the Lord. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. All through the scriptures. It began in Exodus, and all the way through the Old Testament. And then, as I said, it's not mentioned again in the Gospels. Why? Because you don't need that box anymore. All right? That ark is Christ. The ark is the gospel of Christ crucified. And a mercy seat on. And that mercy seat was one thing, to pour blood over it. Let me just go ahead and tell you what the ark was, if you don't know. The ark was a wooden box covered with gold. And it was God's design. He said, see that you make this exactly like I purposed it. It's all a picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was with the Father in the beginning. A wooden box, that's his humanity. Covered with gold, that's his deity. God was manifest in the flesh. Inside that ark were three things. The manna, first of all, the law of God, the word of God was in that vessel. That vessel was the word of God. Christ is called the word of God. All right? The manna was in that ark. God put a bowl of manna in that ark. It was preserved forever in that ark. Christ said, I'm the bread. That was the food for God's people. That's Christ. And then Aaron's rod that budded. This is what Moses, he divided the Red Sea. He made judgments. He slew the enemy with his rod. That's his sovereignty. That's Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord and Savior. Christ our bread. These three things are in one. They're in Christ. He is the ark. The gospel is Christ. And in this story, and all through the scripture, God's dealings with men and women according to the ark. God dealt in mercy and love and grace and forgiveness for those who needed forgiveness, for those who feared the Lord, for those who worshiped the Lord around the ark, those who feared him. And around that ark, and that ark is Christ. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God, the destruction of God, the death, God killed people because of what they did with this ark. God was angry with those who toyed with and trifled with, and even one man touched it. Try to help it out. A man named Uzzah, David, in David's day. The ark was on a cart, which it should not have been. The ark, Uzzah thought, I'll help it out. It's going to fall without me. No, it's not. That's God's gospel. That's God's truth. That's God's son. Don't lay a hand on him. You don't help him. He doesn't need your help. You need his. But that man just touched it. God killed him right there. And it says that David even thought. David shook with fear because he saw what God did to a man for just touching the ark. Now, there's no power in a thing. There never was any power in that box. It's just a box. Just an earthly element. A wooden box. But it so represented the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he was and all that he did, is and did, that God, for anybody to lay a hand on, anybody to help it, anybody to toy or trifle with it, or make a pretense around it, God was angry. Anybody playing with it, just merely interested in it, God killed them. Killed them all. That's how serious he was. All right, look at go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 3. It says in verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Oh, what a picture of Christ Samuel is. Oh, what a picture he is. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, but the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And Samuel, I started to say, he's not my message, but he really is, because Samuel is Christ. Not one word of Samuel, verse 21 says, it didn't fall to the ground. Verse 19. The Lord let none of his words fail. That's Christ. The word of the Lord was precious. There's no open vision. Oh, brothers, it's still precious, isn't it? There is no open vision. There is no more vision today. But the word of the Lord's still here. And look at verse 2, it came to pass at that time Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes waxed dim. He could not see. Verse 3, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The lamp went out. The light went out where the ark was. The light went out. Eli's supposed to be a keeper of the light. Hophni and Phinehas, his sons, were sons of Belial. Supposed to be keep the lamp burning. Why? So he could see the ark. So he could see the work. It was darkness. There was darkness. Stay with me. It was darkness. Down through years, there have been many ages of darkness. There wasn't just one dark ages. There have been many. In the beginning, it says the world, darkness was over the face of the water, doesn't it? After that heavenly revolt of all the angels, it says darkness covered the face of the water. What happened? God said, let there be light. And there was light. The flood, right before the flood, God sent a dark cloud over this whole world because of its wickedness, its violence. The whole earth corrupted its way, so a dark cloud came and the wrath of God fell. But inside the ark, it was light and joy, salvation in the ark. Israel, when they were in Egypt, right before he took them out, says it was darkness over the land, the face of the land. You could feel it. Like now. You could feel it. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What's the light? Christ is the light. The gospel is the light. It says here the lamp went out. The light went out. At Calvary. When Christ was hanging on the cross at Calvary, darkness covered the whole earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Darkness. And then there were dark ages in modern church, modern being the church. Dark ages from about 400 A.D. to about 1400. 1,000 years of darkness. Why? No word. No gospel. Oh, there was some, a little bit, a remnant here and there. And then there was a man, the Lord raised up a man named John. That sound familiar? A man named John. He's called the morning star of the Reformation. John Wycliffe. If you don't know him, you need to know him. The Lord used that man to preach the word in a dark day. He had preachers that he trained to preach the word. And they went out everywhere preaching the word. And he began, Brother Kelly, to translate the Bible, the word of God, into the language of the people so everybody could have light. What is light? What is the lamp? The entrance of thy word giveth light. In thy light we see light. Christ said, I am the light of the world. The gospel is the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the person and work of Christ. Where no gospel is, it's dark. We're living in the dark ages, aren't we? Well, this ark, as I said, that wooden box, it represents Christ. No power in that box. But God dealt very severely with everyone who misused it. All who toy with it, make a pretense. Chapter 4, the ark was taken. The ark was taken. When the lamp went out, the ark was taken, chapter 4, by the, no, this not yet here. Here's right before it's taken. But chapter 4 says the word of the Lord, verse 1, came to all Israel. Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. Israel was a mess. Israel was in idolatry. Israel was steeped in sin. They weren't worshiping God in spirit and truth. Verse 2, so the Philistine, God sent the Philistine. God sent him. The Philistines went against Israel and they were smitten. 4,000 people, 4,000 men were killed. 4,000 of God supposedly people. And now look at what they did. Verse 3, the people were coming into the camp, the elders of Israel. They said, why has the Lord smitten us this day? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh, it may save us out of our enemy. Let's get that wooden box and it will save us. It didn't save them. 30,000 more people died. And what is this telling us? This is religion. People that hope in objects, religious objects, and religious idols and relics and crosses and rosaries and even their baptism and even their experience and not hoping in Christ. Did you hear them calling on the Lord? Were they calling on the Lord? People trust in their baptism, trust in their good work, trust in their church attendance. It won't save you. Salvation's of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. They weren't calling on the Lord. And God killed, verse 10, 30,000 of them. It. And the ark was taken. Then the ark was taken by the enemy. Taken by the enemy. Now when the ark was taken, verse 21, look at this. There was a child born in this dark time. Verse 21, and this daughter-in-law of Eli, Phinehas' wife, had a child, verse 21, and she named that child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. Why? Because the ark is taken. The gospel is the power of God, the glory of God unto salvation. And when there's no ark, when there's no gospel, Ichabod's over the door. The glory is departed. Write that over the door of most so-called churches all over the world today. Ichabod, because there's no gospel. There's no light. Write blessed over this door. Oh, how blessed we are. All right, chapter 5. They took this ark, the enemies, Philistines took this ark and put it in their temple with Dagon. Dagon was a god that they'd made, a god that they carried around. He couldn't do anything if they didn't let him. Dagon, you know what the shape of, you know what Dagon was? A fish. That's right, a fish. Well, they brought the ark of the Lord in and they mixed the ark with their pagan heathen religion. Okay, that's like religion today. That's like so-called Christianity today. We worship God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus and this and that and the other. But they've got another, it's another Jesus who can't do anything unless you let it. It's another God who's not God at all. They say they believe God, but he's not God. They say that Jesus paid it all, but he didn't. It's yea and nay. It's mixture of works and grace. And it's a false gospel. Well, they brought this ark that represents Christ, into their temple and set it down beside Dagon. And they left. And in the morning, look at this, down verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4. They rose early in the morning. Dagon was falling on his face before the ark. And look, his head was cut off and his hands were cut off. So their God had no hands. I'm not making this up. That ark represents Christ. Christ is the truth. There is but one God. There is but one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And all idols shall be brought down. All other gospel, all other Jesus. It said in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, I know your election because you turned from your idols to serve the living and true God. And we're going to see in a minute, these children of Israel, finally, you read it with me, finally, they weren't looking to a box to save them. They were looking to the Lord to save them. Chapter 6, You with me? Chapter 6. Am I talking loud enough? Chapter 6. You hear me back there, Richard? Okay. Chapter 6. Ark went away. It was sent away by its enemies. Ark said, we don't want this ark anymore. Chapter 6, you know, God killed with a great slaughter, verse 19, 50,000. So he looked into it, just curious, what's in there? God killed 50,000. What do people die of today? It doesn't matter what it is. I'll tell you who it is. Things don't kill, God does. Why? Because God is angry and wicked every day. Why? His son. It's all about his son. People toying with and trifling with and making a pretense to worship God's son. He's angry. And he's sinning and dying like flies. Dropping like flies. Why? They're not worshiping God's son. They're not believing God's son. They're not looking. They're not trusting God's son. Say they do, but they don't. It's curiosity. God hadn't changed. God has not changed. The ark was sent away by the Philistines. And they, in chapter 6, they said, we don't want this ark. It's giving us nothing but trouble. And that's the world in general. We don't want any more of this religion. And try to do away with it. You can't. Oh no, you can't be indifferent to God's son. Why? Because he sits on the circle of the earth. In his hand. All right? They sent it away. Do you remember the story of the two milk cows in the cart? Huh? Remember that? God had two old milk cows, two mothers with nursing children. And he put this ark on them, a burden, a great burden. Said, I'll go to where God's people are with this ark. Bear this burden, this ark. The truth of God. And they went lowing as they went. And they went all the way where God's people were, okay? And they stopped where there was a stone in a field. That's where they stopped. They left their children. Why? Because this is the thing needful. We got to take it to God's people. We got to bring them back to God. And they went and they stopped where that big stone in the field was. That's Christ. You know what happened? They both died. Both of those cows died on the altar of that, where that ark was. That's every believer. If you love anybody more than Christ, God's not pleased with you. Except you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple, you see. That's what he did. That's what Christ did. Does he deserve any less from us? No. Love so amazing, so divine, deserves my life, my all, my soul's best song. Songs of, let us pray. Why are you hollering, preacher? That's what we should have been doing, singing. Deserves songs of, let us praise unto him that loved us. Watch, we're going to be singing at the top of our lungs in glory. Now that's another story. No, it's not. It's the same story. That milk, those milk cows in that cart. Now chapter 7. Here we are. And the ark was brought back. And bless God, verse 1 of chapter 7. Bless God, the ark of the Lord brought into the house of Abinadab. This fellow named Abinadab came to his house. And he had a son named Eleazar. He said, keep this ark, son. Watch over this ark. Guard this ark with your life. Give your life to this ark, my son. This is our life. And it's not a thing. It's a person. Don't let anybody take it again. Don't let the light go out. You with me? Oh, how blessed When the ark came to the house of Obed-Edom when David was king, the ark came, it says the Lord blessed that house, the whole house. Everybody was blessed because of the ark. It's Christ. Where he is, you're blessed. This ark came to Abinadab's house. Eleazar, the keeper of it. He had one thing to do. Keep the ark. The covenant. That's what we've been so blessed. We have the ark here. We have the gospel here. You know how few people know what the ark really is? Or rather, who? We hear it all the time. Him. Well, and here's Samuel. He preached to him. In verse 2, the house of Israel lamented. You know what the word lament means? Groan. Groan. The whole house of Israel groaned. Lamented over their sin. Groaned. 1 Corinthians says the whole creation groaneth, and not only they, but we ourselves who have the first fruits. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Lord, help us all. That's what they were all now. They were all understanding. This is not just a box. It can't save us. The Lord must save us. And we've sinned against the Lord. And here's Samuel's, it was a short sermon. Verse 3, he said, if you return unto the Lord with all your hearts, with the heart man believe, not the head. Heart, put away strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you. Strange gods. Gods are idols. Covetousness is idolatry. Anything, anyone that takes the place of our God and his Christ is an idol. He said, put it away. Nothing can take first, be first. Ashtoreth, what's that? That began with Solomon. He married unbelievers. And they turned his hearts away. Ashtoreth was a goddess of love and prosperity. Sex and prosperity. He said, put it away. Put it away. That's the world, isn't it? That's the world we live in. He said, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. He will. How? We're going to see. What'd they do? They heard the preacher's message and they put away. They turned from their idols to serve the living God. Verse 4, Lord only, the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather, verse 5, gather. All the people, gather, gather. He sent out the word. We're going to have a gathering. Where? Mitzpah. What's that? It's called the watchtower. Watchtower. What's that? That's the cross where that is. That's where we gather, isn't it? All people, God's people, gather around Christ and him crucified. This is a picture of Christ who gather. He said, I gather my sheep. And I will pray for you, Samuel said. I will pray unto the Lord for you. I'm going to pray for you. Watch with me. Do you remember when our Lord, right before he went to the cross, told three of his chosen disciples, now come with me into the garden and watch and pray. I'm going to go in there and pray for you. And he did, didn't he? And it was that prayer. And we read it. The Lord heard. That high priestly prayer of our Lord in John 17. He prayed for his people. God heard. And how did he smite the enemy? We're going to see. Look at verse 6. So they gathered together at Mitzpah and drew water and poured it out and fasted. What's that? Brethren, pour out your hearts unto the Lord. And they fasted, meaning they esteemed the word of God more than their necessary food. They didn't need anything but to hear God's word, the gospel. Now here's their confession. Six words. We have sinned against the Lord. That's all they could say. We got nothing to say for ourselves but this. We've sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel. You know, we were judged in Christ on Calvary's tree. And when the Philistines heard, look at verse 7, when the Philistines heard they were gathered together at this watchtower, this meeting place, they went up against them. You're struggling right now to hear this message. I see it in your face. Why? Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but in principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. His grand design is to keep you from hearing the gospel. He'll use anything. He's a master at it. And wherever the gospel is preached, wherever God's people gather, their evil is present. It's present. The enemy is present. Keep you from hearing the gospel. That's why we're to prepare our heart. That's why I said prepare. Prepare. You're not going to hear it. You need to hear this. Prepare. Prepare your hearts. Lord, give me a heart to receive the word. Well, they drew near. Look at this. The children of Israel said to Samuel, verse 8, and they were afraid of the Philistine. They were afraid. Brethren, what time I'm afraid? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of Satan? I am. Are you afraid of that old man in you? I am. You afraid of this world? Yes. It's got a strong power, doesn't it? And I got an old man it still appeals to. I'm afraid of it. What are you going to do? They said, Samuel, pray for us. Samuel, pray for us. Look at verse 8. The children said, cease not to cry to the Lord for us, to save us out of the hand of the Philistine. Don't stop praying for us, Samuel. We're no match for these enemies. Our Lord ever lives to make intercession for us. If he didn't, brother, we're goner. He said to Simon Peter, Satan hath desired you, sift you like wheat. He said, but I pray for you. Aren't you glad? Samuel in another place said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for my brethren. He never ceased. And God heard him. God heard him. Look at verse 9. Now here's how the Philistines were smitten. Verse 9. Samuel took a sucking lamb, an innocent victim, a lamb without spot and without blemish of the first year, from the bosom of its parents. He took this lamb and offered it for a burnt offering. He killed it and the blood was poured out and offered it for a burnt offering on the altar, holy unto the Lord, unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. What is that? That is Christ crucified. Christ hanging on that cross. Christ, the Lamb of God. Christ cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they did. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. He finished the work on Calvary's tree, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. His high priestly prayer before he went, his cry on the cross when he went, the blood that was shed for remission of our sin, God heard, God accepted. God, he went through hell, the burnt offering, and God accepted what he did on behalf of his people. Now look at the next thing. It says that the Philistines drew near to battle, verse 10, and the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Psalm 18 says the very same thing. The Lord thundered. The Psalm of the Cross, Psalm 18. God thundered from heaven. When Christ was crucified, darkness over the land, it says the whole earth shook. Why? Because there was a battle raging between the Son of God and the dark prince of the power of the air. I'll tell you who won. Look at it, verse 10. And they were smitten before Israel. Sin put away. By Christ and him crucified. We overcome our enemies. Why? How? By the blood of a lamb. One way. And so they went out to fight. There's a warfare we're still in. not to put away sin, but mortify our members. And verse 11 says, they smote them till they came to Bethkar, the house of pasture. Then Samuel took a stone. You know, it was there all along. It was there all along. Way back in chapter 4, it says the battle was pitched beside Ebenezer. There was a stone already there. It was there before this whole story started. Like a big foundation stone that somebody had laid. Somebody did. God did. It was there all along. And Samuel took that stone and set it between this watchtower, the cross, and Shin. That's a high place. Shin is a fortress, a sharp rock, a high place representing heaven itself. Between cross and heaven itself, this stone, which is Christ, and he named it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Listen to this. Listen to this. And I'll close with it. Peter said this. He said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. We come to Christ, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, lively stone, living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it's told in scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him, Christ, the solid rock, shall not be ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And in our text, it says, so the Philistines were subdued. They were not only smitten, but they could never have dominion over them. Didn't our Lord say that? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Not under the law. Christ nailed those ordinances against us to his cross. You know the law is for us. The law is now for us. The law says kept, fulfilled in Christ. And he said sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall never subdue you. I subdue it. And you subdue and you fight it by how? By faith in him. Resisting by faith in Christ. Looking to me. Looking to me. And so they came, look at verse 14. The cities the Philistines had taken were restored to Israel. All these captive places. All these captive cities were taken back. Restored unto the Lord. Like Rocky Mount, Virginia, steeped in idolatry, steeped in religion years ago, but the ark came here years ago, didn't it? And took captivity captive. Fairmont, West Virginia, Pikeville, Kentucky, Danville, Kentucky. On and on it goes, these captive cities. God sent the ark to recover those cities unto himself. He's got a remnant. In each of those cities. Is that you? Okay.